Okay, John, what was the one that you wanted to submit?
Well, I sent a couple of more clarifications to the list. I don't know if it should be in your inboxes right now, but let me just pull them up here and I can read it for you here. Let me get away from Bill's stuff to mine. Bill's stuff actually subsumes mine, although he goes further. He suggests reducing the size of committees, such as the governance committee, from 20 to 10 people. Mine was milder, just going to 15, but let me just get out of this program and get to the other and give me a second, please.
By the way, this is Sasha. I thought I'd tell you I've been on the call for about the last hour.
Okay, Sasha, thank you. I'll mark you as present.
George, I'm ready.
Oh, Sharam. Okay, good.
This is Don again.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, so this is basically motion to change size of PNB committees. And this refers to really the first sentence of Article 8, Other Committees of the Board of Directors, Section 2, Composition and Board of Committees. So it's really a one-word change. This is what I mean by an atomic change, a very small thing. So the exact wording that I propose, which can be summarized with a one-word change, replace the word least with the word most. The existing wording, except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, all committees shall include at least one director from each foundation radio station and two delegates who are not then serving as directors from each radio station. The amendment, just change least to most, except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, all committees shall include at most one director from each foundation radio station and two delegates who are not then serving as directors from each radio station. The rationale, to reduce the unworkably large quota of four committee members from each station to the more workable three per station, thus the max committee size is reduced from 20 to 15. By the way, I don't care if it goes down to two per station. I just think that 20 is a bit unworkable, and I just want to be helpful. But here's a nice atomic element that changed that people can vote on, and it doesn't involve, you know, all those other sort of big complex things such as Bill was proposing. So that's it. Are there any questions?
Sasha.
I'm
sorry, who's that?
Sasha.
Okay, Sasha.
So if wording is at most,
yeah,
so that
the idea
could send absolutely no one, so we could have a committee of two?
You could have a committee from each, well, if I understand your question, each LSV currently can send four people to the governance committee, two directors.
Yes, I'm asking about your change.
Yeah, I would reduce it to a maximum of one director and a maximum of two non-directors.
What are you dealing with if they send no director?
That's their choice. If they don't want to be represented, that's their choice.
So you could have a committee of one station sending, we could have a one-person committee.
That's theoretically possible.
Right, okay. Just wanted to make that clear, and I'm entirely against it.
Harpool?
Yeah, I agree with the thrust of this, because I think at 20, these things are teetering on the edge. I would suggest, I mean, I disagree with the idea of leaving it so open that it could be down to one or two people, and oh boy. I would say the real good amendment, because right now it says accept the bylaws, they accept as otherwise provided in these bylaws, all committees shall include at least one director from each. I would say the really good thing would make it read shall include one director from each. In other words, strike the words at least and just let it be one director. That way you've got these 15. It would make for these 15 people committees, and that would be it.
Are you suggesting a friendly amendment? I accept it.
I would suggest that would be the thing to do. Just strike in the original, strike the words at least one director, make it include one director, period. Unambiguous.
I accept that as a friendly amendment.
John, let me make clear what's happening right now. In order to get to move this forward, you have to get six directors who are willing to sign on to it. The conversation is having its function. We were sort of coming to some understanding for yourself and for the rest of the committee as to what might be likely to fly. But the actual there is no motion on the floor, and if you want to make this happen, you need to get six directors to sign on to it.
I have a question then. I thought the notion of the governance committee was to propose, among other things, bylaws for the PNB. So do I have to individually, as a member, go around and call up a bunch of directors? You know, I don't know that many of them. And it seems to me that the governance committee should have its own interface to the directors.
We haven't been functioning that way. We've been functioning as a place to basically vet and discuss these things for the purpose of developing some consensus. If you want to make a motion, even if we pass it on the governance committee, there are, I think, five or six directors on this call, maybe five. So you're free to make a motion to that effect if you want, but somehow it has to. Even if it passes on the governance committee, such as the one that we did pass that I brought to begin with, you still need to get six signatures, and the committee itself doesn't have any particular way to make that happen, as you saw. So
this is Lydia.
Yeah.
Bill for the stack too.
Well, John, anything else that you need to say about this?
No, I'm just learning. I think that you said historically this committee has not functioned that way. I think it should in the future. I think this would be an improvement to the process. And you're right. I mean, the directors I know are my own directors, really, plus the ones on this committee. And some of them, you know, I've never seen, never having been. Well, I don't have faces to identify with their voices. But you're right. We probably have a bunch of them here on this committee, and if governance as a committee came up with a good amendment, then presumably our own directors on this committee would think it was good and would agree to sponsor it. So that's the natural way to progress.
Okay, Lydia.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that. For example, I think that it would be good practice, and George, my hat's off to you because you have been trying for months now to get us focused on the bylaws. And one of the reasons for that is because at an earlier meeting, this could be passed by the governance committee, and then the directors at a PMB meeting could sign on to it. There could be a call for all the directors that are interested in that to sign on to it. The problem is that it has to be posted by September 1st, and John and Otis are unavailable after tomorrow, although, you know, you can try sending it to them. We had asked Arlene at the last PMB meeting last week when she would recommend that we get these into them, and she had recommended noon today, and so I, like others, left it till the last minute and sent mine in this morning. However, they still are having to put it on something for it to post in a second. So I think it's possible to go ahead and still send them in by September 1st. Is Otis recording this one? Oh, no, it isn't. Well, anyway, you can try. But that's a problem. I think it had been done earlier. That's how it could work. Being that it's done right now, I think probably you need to work with a director that is in favor of that bylaws amendment to put the pieces together, because I think the way they format it is you put the existing language, the amended language, and the language as amended. At least that's how I did it, and I think that's what we did last year, and the number of directors, the list of directors that are sponsoring it.
And John, you should have access to the emails of everybody on the committee, so you can send them an email with the suggested language and see what you get.
Yeah. Well, let me just take a straw poll here then. So with the suggestion of our Paul to just make the number of directors explicitly one director from each LSV, and up to two non-directors from each LSV, that means the committees can range from 10 to 15. What do you guys think about it? Is it the right size? Is there anybody here as a director who supports it?
Let me try to ask it in a way so people can respond. Is there anyone who objects to that formulation of the bylaws amendment and would not, or anyone wants to volunteer to sign on to it? Either way.
This is Tracy. Yes, I support it, and yes, I'll sign on to it.
Okay, great. Great. Anybody else?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but I think that the point is there should be a director that can volunteer to see the process through for John. You know, put all the pieces together and make sure that Otis and John get it and Arlene is copied, because it's slightly beyond the time that Arlene is there, because John and Otis leave early tomorrow morning. So.
But I was responding to John's request. Is there anybody
this
else?
This is Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tracy. I would be happy to work with John to move this forward if he would like me to, and there's no other volunteers.
Great.
Sounds good.
And does anyone else want to speak to either approving of that and signing on or raising an objection?
This is Bob.
This is Bill.
Bob and then Bill.
Okay. So first of all, John, can I clarify, did you just change the second part of the amendment to be at most two delegates? Because right now it just says two delegates.
Yeah, I did. I'm really looking. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to work out this thing here. We our own people don't notice that the minis are too large, and I'm just trying to move quickly and agilely towards the right size. If the right size is 10, we can make it that. If the right size is 15, we can make it that. We can have it the range of 10 to 15. Clearly, 20 is a little on the large side. So I did suggest, and I'm really totally flexible on this, because frankly, this committee works fairly well for me, and I can live with 20. I'm just trying to be helpful here. So so notionally then, how do you guys feel about having exactly one director for each committee and from one to two delegates, non-director delegates from each LSB?
Okay, I'd like to address that. The reason, let me amend that. I can't swear to the reason the bylaws are written this way, although I have a pretty good recollection of the spirit of the discussion at the time this was developed. But certainly the effect of it, of having two delegates mandated and not optional, is that given the, you know, very, very major differences of opinion on almost every LSB in the network, it ensures that the two different streams of thought or points of view will have at least one representative from that station on each committee. And I think if you reduce that to make it optional, then who's ever the majority in a given year will simply say, oh, you know what, we don't really need a second person. We'll just have one, and it'll just happen to represent the majority's view. And so the minority on that LSB, and if the same logic holds with the choice of just one director, then those who are numerical minorities on their LSBs will never be heard on committees. And I think that's really counter to the spirit of what was supposed to be these bylaws, which is to encourage
10 to the stack.
To encourage diversity of opinion. So I certainly hear the concern about large committees, but I also think that where there is talent and motivation to contribute to a topic of a committee, that I don't see the harm that's come from having some of the committees be a little bit larger this year. I think it's gotten, you know, more people engaged and more people to do the work. And so if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Bill.
Ken to the stack.
You're on,
Ken. To the stack. I haven't spoken yet.
Well, that's true. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. This, of course, is something that came up in contention in a January in-person meeting. And the point is this. Democracy is very useful when correctly applied. But to put everybody votes on everything and everybody's on every committee defeats functional democracy. Having 20 people or 22 people, you could actually have more. There's no limit, at least one director. You could have four directors from each station. That's 20 people, and another 30 and another 20 from each two, you know, two more. So that you got 40 people on the committee. You can, and then everybody's got to do it. And then if Station A has two people, then Station B has to have it, or they're losing their proportionate representation. So it's a improper application of a bylaw that was intended to be used sensibly. I still interpret it to mean one director. John's clarification is appropriate. If you need to have voting, you vote for who the director is and who the alternate directors are, so that if that director falls off, an alternate director can take his place. That's what it says if you read it, if you're an average person. Convoluting it to say you have unlimited attendance is, and I'm just going to say this whether we're on the stream or not, it's just a political ploy to be able to gang up and control one committee, like personnel or governance or whatever you think happens to be appropriate. It's much better to have a controlled allocation of representation from the five business units, the five stations. It might even be appropriate to try to add somebody from PRA. We never discussed that, did we? But anyhow, I support what John is saying. It should be clarified, and we should have workable committees. We're human beings. We're not octopuses or spiders. We don't have eight legs. We have two legs, two arms, two eyes, one nose. Too many people on a committee is like too many cooks in the kitchen. Nothing gets made. Everybody's got opinions. Everybody pushes it around. How many people can talk on a telephone conference call? I'm talking too long right now. That's what happens in these committees. So that's all.
Bill.
I kind of basically agree with Ken. Also, just to let John know, you know, we have been talking about these for several months. I know these were all presented at least 2 months ago, Lydia's and George's and mine. And so we asked for feedback, and some of them were changed a little bit based on comments from people in this committee. But I think, yeah, a size of 20 is just absolutely ridiculous. It just doesn't function. And with all the noise and interruptions on the committees, and as Ken was saying, you get that many people. Even 15, I think, is too big, especially for a teleconference call. The talk to people talk a lot, and the quiet people don't say hardly anything. So you're not actually getting the extra input of opinion from these other people. And we already have five different stations, so there's different points of view anyway. I don't think we need more than, frankly, one director and one non-director from each station. But I do support having alternates so that when somebody can't come, somebody else can take their place.
Okay.
John, George, can I get in the queue for a second? I've done some thinking about this in real time. So I have some, I'd like to respond, and I think I can make an integrating solution to
okay.
The wisdom of all
things. Okay, I'd like to take your response as the last, as I'd like to get to Tracy's motion if possible. We have about 25 minutes. Go ahead, John.
If the committees were elected using proportional representation, I understand Bob's issue. If you have proportional representation, you elect one person, then the majority gets it every time, and the largest faction gets nothing. But if each of us were to elect with proportional representation, maybe it won't work. I was going to say, if in a single election they elected the PNB director and their non-PNB people, then that would solve it. But in thinking about that, the mechanics don't work. So I withdraw my...
okay, good. A great example of thinking out loud.
Point of
Thank
information?
Who's that? Arpal?
Arpal, very fast. Point of information?
Yes.
Doesn't the PNB elect the directors to these committees, not the LSBs?
Yes, that's right.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So, and then you have majority amplification, and that's just the way it is.
Okay. Is there any objection to moving on? Okay, good. Tracy, do you have your motion ready and to put forward? Tracy?
Can't hear you, Tracy.
We still can't hear you, Tracy.
I'm sorry, what are we doing?
It's time for your motion. Do you have something you want to propose?
Yes, my motion.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I sent it out to the group, so it should be somewhere in your gov list. Let me go get it. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking at the moment. So just give me a second and I'll bring it up. Okay, this is a motion that came out of some conversation on the personnel committee about some of the discrepancies within our network, because we have both non-unionized and unionized staff doing the same job. Since it seemed to me to be a governance issue, I'm bringing it forward in this committee. This is the wording on the motion. The governance committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board that in order to ensure an even playing field for all Pacifica employees at all Pacifica stations, eligible employees at KPFT-FM, which is our non-unionized unit, be encouraged to consider forming a bargaining unit. If that proves difficult due to the small size of the potential unit, then eligible employees are encouraged to look into an accretion request with the nearest geographical Pacifica bargaining unit, in this case, the AFTER unit in Los Angeles. It's, of course, merely a recommendation. It's entirely up to people themselves whether or not they choose to unionize. But my feeling is that since we exist with bargaining units at four of our five stations, that level of inequity is not something that the board should condone or necessarily, you know, make the case that we support if, in fact, it's not what the employees at that station want. And I think always when people consider forming a bargaining unit, they worry that, you know, it's going to cause a lot of trouble. So I think that it could be helpful to kind of, you know, put it out there that we're open if the organizing happens. The accretion request is simply to deal with the issue that it's going to be a very small bargaining unit, and it may or may not fail. But, of course, you know, options for accretion request are pretty common. And that would be something that could certainly be looked into, that it's not an obstacle, in other words. Okay, I'm putting that. I think it would be nice if the governance committee would pass it and kick it up to the PNB, but there's nothing really more to it other than that. And for the record, it has been run past the KPFT GM, and he said he had no problem with the motion. So the management there is, you know, is perfectly open.
Okay. Anyone want to discuss this? I'll take a stack on it. I'm sorry, who's that?
Harpal.
And Bob.
Bob? Anyone else? Go ahead, Harpal.
Yeah, sure, we can encourage that. That would be a good idea. In terms of being with someone else, WBAI, when we started the first real union at the station, back in 87, we were part of United Electrical Radio and Machine Workers of America, amalgamated local 404. So we were in an amalgamated local because people thought we wouldn't get enough people. And then we had loads of people in this thing. And then, of course, eventually stuff happened and a certain union buster screwed things up. And now AFTRA is at BAI. But Yeah, I would support saying, hey, we're not going to bring out the truncheons if somebody starts passing around cards for people to sign, something like that. And it's entirely possible that they would be amalgamated with something local in Texas. That could happen. I mean, you know, they don't have to be a part of another Pacifica union. They could have any kind of, you know, union that exists down there, and if they need more people in it, that union will probably amalgamate them on its own. So, not a problem.
Bob.
Okay. First, I have several questions of Tracy. I didn't follow what you were saying about the reason you brought this to the governance committee, rather than you said, did you say you had raised it in personnel, and what happened there, and how do you see this falling under the role of this committee?
Tracy?
It came up in personnel as a concern by a Texas PNB member who expressed some distress about the double standards. And I thought he had a point, and it wasn't really a personnel committee matter. So it really, if it were governance matter, because it's about the content of the
fact. You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
There's noise in the background, but I'm not causing it. But it seemed to me that, you know, an expression of belief that we prefer not to have unionized bargaining units and not unionized bargaining, you know, and non-bargaining units within the same organization was a reasonable thing for the governance committee to address. You know, it's a question of sort of internal coherency in some ways.
Okay.
And this is Lydia to the stack.
Okay. My other question, and then I have a comment, is have you spoken to any of the employees at KPFT about this issue?
No.
Okay.
I spoke to the manager, Dwayne Bradley, just to thinking that I would bring it before the governance committee because I thought that's the courteous thing to do. That's all.
Okay. Well, my comment is that obviously, you know, like in the same spirit of what R. Paul said, of course, it is vital, essential that Pacifica practice internally what it preaches on its airwaves. So, of course, anything we can do to support unionization is a really, really good thing. However, I do think we have to approach it in a careful and appropriate way as far as worker self-determination. I agree that it's appalling that any of our stations are not unionized. And by the way, I also think it's appalling that in different stations, management has put obstacles in the path of the unpaid staff from either having a union or, in the case of WBAI, destroying the union that existed for many years. So I think that's another issue that needs to be addressed. But just focusing on the issue that's raised here, which is about paid employees, first of all, I'm not convinced that this doesn't belong in personnel because this is, first and foremost, a personnel issue. But to get to the substance, I would think that if the PNB is going to pass any motion on this subject, I think, first of all, it should be based on some conversation with the actual employees at KPFT. I mean, it's laudable to want to look out for their interests, but I think anything concerning their representation should come from dialogue with them. So that's number one. Number two is I think it's really inappropriate for the PNB to express a preference about, well, you might want to do an accretion request with AFTRA in L.A. I mean, you know, there have been all kinds of issues with, you know, does AFTRA represent interests or not? And I'm not taking a position on that. I'm simply saying that is up to the workers. That's not for the PNB to suggest, oh, why don't you try this option? I mean, people can have whatever informal off-the-record conversations they want and offer whatever suggestions they want. But as a board, and a board that supervises and works with management, I don't think it's their role to say which union in which city workers might want to think about or might want to, you know, consider affiliating with. So I don't have any specific language at the moment. I guess my leaning would be kind of a very simple and more of a management, how do I want to say this? Rather than the governance committee or the PNB or the personnel committee encouraging workers to do this or that, I think it's more about making a policy statement that Pacifica should strongly support all efforts at unionization of paid or unpaid staff and, you know, remove any obstacles to that coming about. Or, you know, again, I don't have wording, but I think it should be more about the responsibilities of management rather than giving advice to workers. That's it.
Did you want to make an amendment, Bob, or just
not? No, because this is just this wasn't even sent to us before the meeting, so I haven't had time to think about it. But that was just sort of a general spirit that I'm thinking about.
Okay.
And George, you had me on the stack because I want to clarify something.
Lydia, you are on the stack. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
And George, you could put me back on the stack at the end.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be.
Good, Lydia.
Okay, so first of all, there is a working group on the personnel committee dealing with the issues that the director from KPFT brought to the committee. There are two directors from Texas on that working group. And what we did was we have requested and are trying to gather information from the various contracts that we have. Labor contracts that we have. We were not going to necessarily recommend anything specific, but we wanted to get a sense of both what is kind of like the average for the particular positions throughout the network, which is useful not just for Texas, but you know, and also what would be like the wages in Houston are not going to be the same in New York or Los Angeles, that sort of thing. And first, just do an analysis of it. Anything along the lines of what Tracy's motion, however well-intentioned, was actually prepared to vote for it, but I think would still have to be vetted by council because, again, we are a board, et cetera. But it does, in my opinion, does belong in personnel. Tracy's a member of personnel. She can certainly join that working group and make that motion there, and we can work on it there.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to this?
Oh, so that was a motion
Bill.
To refer to personnel. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Are you?
That was a motion to refer to personnel.
Oh, okay. Bill, did you want to speak to that?
Well, not on the motion to refer, but, I mean, I guess it refers to the whole thing. I just, you know, it just seems like we're making this awfully complicated. I mean, Tracy's motion is basically just to, you know, support employees if they want to unionize, and, you know, and it doesn't try to tell them you have to do this or you have to do that. I'd like to remind everybody, you know, we only have about, I think, around 12 paid employees total at KPFT, including all the part-time people and including management. So there's not a whole lot. And, you know, if they were to unionize on their own, they're going to have not a lot of influence. So that's another reason why I think it's a good idea to consider joining with ones from another station. But, I mean, it'd be up to them, of course, whatever they want to do. But I don't see the need for complicating this so much, and I don't see the need for referring it to personnel. If we like it, we can pass it and send it on up to the PNB.
Arpal, stack?
Forget Arpal.
I don't think we need to send it to personnel. It can come out of the governance committee because this is just a committee. And, yes, once it gets to the PNB, they certainly should run it past their council and make sure, you know, whatever the PNB passes. And, again, this can go to the PNB, and the PNB can rewrite this totally to make it as wonderful as they like it. This basically is mostly expressing a sentiment. As I said, different unions will decide how they might want to amalgamate smaller locals. Smaller sub-locals into an amalgamated. And as far as WBAI destroying unions, well, okay, that was done in 1999, and the unpaid staff were removed at that point in time, which I fought against. And I have to say, it's indeed ironic that somebody who was
really launching a campaign to bring back the Union Buster at that time, is complaining about destroying unions. I mean, unpaid staff can't have unions, and that's something we all have to live with, because the old hijacker PNB and the former long ago WBAI general manager made the NLRB rule that way, and there's nothing we can do about it, which affects, by the way, welfare workers as well, which is another story. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of unions, we should not refer it to personnel. We should pass it to the PNB and let them decide exactly what wording they think is correct.
Anyone else want to speak to this? Who hasn't spoken?
Tracy, I'll say one last thing.
Well, I want to see if there's anybody else that hasn't spoken, Tracy.
Okay, sure.
Anybody? Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the personnel committee, the personnel committee it seemed like that was crossing a fairly rigid line.
I can't hear anything being said.
Okay. Let me start again. I don't think the personnel committee really plays a role in bargaining. That's probably a line that crosses, like a role with executive personnel and search committee processes, possibly with a personnel policy. In terms of, you know, talking to the workers, we're working with management. It's not our role to facilitate the organizing. It is our role to say that it's a policy that we'd like to encourage, and if anyone down there has the feeling this is something that they like to do, it's green light. And I think that's really as far as we can go. And I think that's as far as we should go. So I don't think there's anything to add on or complicate in this motion besides what we're basically doing. All we can do is green light it, and then what happens, happens. The amalgamating of whatever us, but I've heard a lot of scuttlebutt about the capitalism. So it's possible, and I want to make sure. Of course, I think that is, I agree with our call. That's a different issue. It's an important one.
I can't understand what she's saying.
It's breaking up so badly that we really can't. We really can't hear what you're saying at this point. Is there anything you can do at that end?
I don't know. Let me move around a bit and see.
That's better.
How's it?
Started out well.
It's okay.
No.
Okay.
Good.
How much of that did you lose? Should I just start at the beginning again, or
no,
was it just the end?
Just the end part, particularly about you commenting about our Paul's comment. I think that was completely lost.
Okay, I was just going to say that I think the unpaid staff association issue, which is important, is another issue entirely. It doesn't belong in this motion, and it requires it requires the construction of different language. It fills a different role within the organization, and the rules are different. So I don't really see how you can amalgamate the two. And I would encourage that as a separate motion, but I don't think it has anything to do with this one. That's it.
Okay. We're almost out of time. What I'd like to do is to take a vote on the motion to refer to the personnel committee. Is there any objection to doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So,
who said yes?
Bill.
Marple.
So you want to speak? You want to have further discussion?
No. Let's go to a vote. That's fine.
I asked if there's any objection to taking a vote.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So I hear no objection to taking a vote. So what's on the floor to begin with is referring the motion, Tracy's motion, to the personnel committee. I'll read the list, and you'll say yes if you want to refer it, and no if you don't.
George, one more question. Do we have the motion?
What's that?
Do we have the motion? Has it been sent?
Tracy said she sent it. I didn't get it myself, but I'm hoping that some of you did.
Yeah, it's in there.
About an hour and a half ago.
From 5:57
p.m.
Okay.
Okay. So, on the question of referral to the Personnel Committee, Ken Aaron.
We're not voting on Tracy's motion?
No, it's just a question of if this passes, we won't vote on Tracy's motion. It will go to the Personnel Committee. If it fails,
no.
We'll vote on Tracy's motion.
I vote no.
Okay. Sharm Agamir. Can't hear you, Sharm. Carolyn Burden. Can't hear you, Carolyn. Lydia Brazil.
Yes.
Sorry. That was it. Carolyn? Yeah, Carolyn. Okay. Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Kathy Davis? Gail Dixon? Sasha Futran? Joseph Kay? Lizette King? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin?
No.
Brenda Medina? Marcel Reed? I'm going to pass for the moment. Tracy Rosenberg? Tracy? Can I hear you, Tracy? John Wenger?
Yes, I'm here, George. Sorry, I vote no.
Okay. John Wenger? John? Okay.
Care to go over this again because there are people who've been here.
I'm going to go back again just to see. I mean, the people who have been on the call don't seem to be responding.
I got a text from Brenda that she wouldn't be back on for half an hour. That was about 15 minutes ago because she had to get on the road.
Carolyn Burden, are you there? Okay, last chance. Kathy Davis, are you there? Okay. Sasha Futran, are you there? No. Joseph Kay is not here anyway. Lizette King? Marcel Reed? Okay, I'm going to abstain.
George.
Yes.
This is Sharam. This is Sharam. I vote no.
Hello.
Okay. Who said hello?
This is Sasha. Can you hear me? Did you count my vote?
I can hear you now. I didn't count your vote. How do you vote?
I am voting yes.
Okay.
Did you get my vote? Sharam, I vote no.
Sharam, I got your vote. No. Anyone else who... Who's that? Okay. John Wenger, are you there?
And someone needs to mute for that.
Yes, so someone with voices in the background, a lot of noise. Please mute it if that fits you.
John.
Okay, so...
The call is ending in 5 minutes.
I don't get... I'm gonna call the vote on that. I don't know where the other people are, but they're not answering, so we can't do much about it. I've got... Five no's and three yeses. So the motion to send it to the Personnel Committee fails. What's on the floor is now Tracy's motion Tracy, you want to read it again? Tracy?
This is just
terrible. Please, everyone, do pound one. When we take the vote, come on back. Okay.
I don't know what I can connect with noise, but I will try. That's better. Oh, come on, people. Just juvenile. All right. The motion reads, the governance... Committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board that in order to ensure an even playing field for all Pacifica employees at all Pacifica stations, eligible employees at KPFT-FM be encouraged to consider forming a bargaining union. That- If that proves due to the small size of the potential unit, then employees are encouraged to look into an accretion request with the nearest geographical Pacifica bargaining unit, in this case, the AFTRA unit in Los Angeles.
This is Bob with an amendment.
Okay.
I move to delete the second sentence.
Which would be the second sentence. What's the sentence that you want deleted?
If that proves difficult due to the small size of the potential unit, then employees are encouraged to look into an accretion request with the nearest geographical Pacifica bargaining unit, in this case, the AFTRA unit in Los Angeles.
Okay, do you want to speak to the amendment?
Yeah, just as I said earlier, I think it's really inappropriate for the governing body to express a preference about how and where employees should be represented, what union they should affiliate with. I think that's just not something that should be weighed in on by the governing body. That's up to the workers.
Okay. Is there any objection to Bob's amendment?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, I object.
Okay. Does anyone... well, we're out of time, actually, pretty much. 10:32. Does anyone want to speak to this? Who objects?
Call for the orders of the day.
Well... All right.
Yeah, we already had Bob.
Okay. I'll take the vote on it then. So this is on Bob's amendment. Ken Aaron. Ken? I can't hear you, Ken. Sharam Agamir.
No.
Carolyn Burden.
No.
Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Kathy Davis. Gail Dixon. Sasha Futran.
Yes.
Lizette King.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. We're voting for Bob's amendment, right?
That's right.
Yes. My vote is yes. This is Lydia.
Okay, I'm going to... I already got you. Yeah, I got you as a yes for that. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Bob Lederer.
Yeah.
R. Paul Martin.
No.
Brenda, are you back? No. Okay. I vote yes. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
John Wenger. Okay. So I have 1, 2, 3.
That was no.
This is my vote. This is Ken.
Yes, Ken. How do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 no's and 1, 2, 3, 4 yeses. So this the amendment fails, and so we go on to vote on Tracy's original proposal as unamended, and we're out of time, so there's no more time for other amendments as well. So we'll just have to go to a vote on that. And I'll take the roll again. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Sharam Agamir.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan. Lydia? Can't hear you.
I pass.
Okay. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Gail Dixon? Sasha Futran? Sasha? Can't hear you, Sasha. Lizette King? Bob Lederer?
I abstain because of the second sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, okay. R. Paul Martin?
Yes.
Brenda, are you back? No. I will abstain also. Tracy?
Yes.
John? Can't hear you, John. Let's see. Lydia, you passed?
Abstain.
Okay. So I have 4, 6 yeses and 3 abstentions. The motion passes. The only other item on the list is actions. I'll forward this to the PNB, and you're all encouraged to take a look at the bio at Robert's Rules and see if you can see something that says something about canceling meetings. Is there any other action that needs to be followed up on? Okay, hearing done. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night.
Good meeting, George. Thank you.